Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about the Season 5 finale, The End. We're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about the team dynamics, breaking the time loop, and of course, saying goodbye. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It is so weird thinking that this could have been the very end of the series.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That is crazy. I'm glad it's not. We get more.
Yeah.
We get more.
That's the big news.
That's the news. Spoiler alert.
There is no need for the news and gossip section at the end of the show.
Well, let's still do news and gossip.
We'll see everyone in a year.
A
year and some change.
It's going to be a little bit of a wait, but I'm hoping it'll be worth it. Anyway.
We'll have gray hair.
Oh my gosh, guys. The next time we'll see each other is in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe Jesse and I will have no beard. Megan will have a beard.
Oh, she'll have taken our beard powers. She'll have absorbed us.
Soon your beard powers will be mine. Anyway, hey guys, welcome back to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We're going to be talking about the Season 5 finale tonight. I'm Megan Salinas. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel to my left, Zach Wilson.
Yes, I am Zach Wilson. I'm still Zach Wilson, even though Graviton is dead. My son is dead.
Are you going to be all right?
I'll be fine. Right. He was going to blow up the world.
That's true. That was true. It was either him or the world. To his left, Jesse Klein.
Hey, super excited to be here in the beard corner. Tehran and I did fight to the death. Tehran won again, of course, and he is busy celebrating, so he's not here. I'm sorry.
See, I was making the assumption that, like, as an unusual but refreshing change, you had actually won the bout to the death this time, and he was waiting to resurrect himself.
Oh, absolutely not. No, he won. he won again, and I am just, he's just, it was a big celebration. This was a contested fight, and he won, so he's out celebrating somewhere.
Well, guys, we're sad that he couldn't join us, but be sure to send him your well wishes at I Am Tehran. And we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel for all of you guys following along on Twitter. Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat.
I do. Thank you so much for joining us for this big finale. But season finale, not series, which I will continue to repeat because it's good news.
It's nice.
Now
I like that they named it The End.
Yeah.
Nope.
Could you, again, it's so weird to think about that this might have been the very end of the series. Now, I didn't watch this episode until we walked in the door into the studio today. I don't know when you guys checked it out, but all through the weekend, people were definitely like tweeting their feelings at us quite a bit.
Lots of feelings thrown our way.
Lots of feelings.
I'm
going to
pull up some of them, some of the fun ones.
So I was a little apprehensive going in to the finale tonight. I wanted to check with you guys. What were your initial thoughts on this episode? Because it's kind of a mixed bag in terms of being a standalone episode, potentially having been the series finale, and then just standing on its own as a season finale.
I mean, yeah, I was anxious to see, because we knew that they had made this episode the possible end of the series. I was really just excited to see how they were going to pull that off.
Yeah.
Because I think this would, like, if this was the last episode, for me, I think this would have been a fine end to the series, in that if the main story of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a whole is the kind of emotional arc between Daisy and Coulson, then we got a very complete story as the show went through. We got to see this father saying goodbye to his daughter and kind of leaving the future to her, which was a complete, very satisfying story. There are, like, you know, dumb nerd nitpicks that me and Zach have,
yeah,
which we admit are dumb nerd nitpicks, but as a
aren't they always?
Yeah, of course. But as a whole story, I think it was very complete and could have been a fine ending.
Yeah.
And one of the better series enders, series enders in our history as far as, like, being fans of shows.
Yeah,
series enders really are almost always not satisfying.
They're so difficult to pull off. Yeah. Even the ones that, like, I may like, I know a lot of people hate, and, like, there's some ones that I don't like that a lot of people love. And it just, it,
yeah, we'll never agree on Lost.
Yeah. But even just, like, but especially shows that don't have big mysteries and things. Like, the mysteries are hard to end, but shows that just, like, anytime you wrap up a show that's been on for six seasons, it's easier when you know, okay, I have this many seasons, like The Leftovers, without getting into the specifics of that show, I think The Leftovers is one of the best complete packages of a show because they knew we're ending it after season three. They went into that season knowing this is it. We're not coming back. We're not doing any more. We're going to stop. So they were, it gets complicated when you're like, well, we want to end it, but you also need to leave it just open enough that we might come back for another season.
Yeah.
And also, like, tease the studio so that they might give us that extra season, but also not piss off. It's a lot of things to juggle. So I like the Tahiti thing. Like, bring Tahiti, like, the little bit at the end where we really did bookend from season one so many pieces, where this show has gone off the rails in every season so many ways. But, like, if this was the last S.H.I.E.L.D. episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., I would still want more from these characters, but like I would almost be more satisfied if season six was just not even called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., just called like Secret Warriors. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is left as Coulson's show.
Yeah.
I kind of agree. If this had been the very end, my thoughts on it would be like it was messy but cathartic in terms of, like, there were some missteps getting here. We've had some missteps at the beginning of the season, and I feel like tying up all the loose ends, there are a couple, I won't say missed opportunities, but there are some interesting choices getting to the end here. That being said, the emotional catharsis that we get is pretty satisfying in terms of Coulson's completed arc, as you were pointing out, Jesse. It's a little bit of a mixed bag for me because I think it's a great standalone episode. And if this had been the end, I would have been like I said, it's a little messy, but we got there. Knowing that we're getting one more season, I have a little bit of mixed feelings because, we've basically said goodbye to Coulson and we've closed the book on that chapter of this show.
Well, it is the messy kind of, a lot of shows that run for a long time have like the turnover of actors and characters. And I think we're kind of getting that messy where we're seeing like Davis and we're seeing, what's her name?
Piper.
And we're like, they're more involved. And like, I believe that like Deke will probably come back now.
I hope he does.
I hope like, so too.
I hope he does
so,
as well.
But here's a question. And this like somewhat it, like will lead into a question that the chat has, but like, is Deke is alive, right? Like we're assuming based on this episode that Deke is alive.
I think he's a multi-dimensional time child. I think that's what we have to assume. Is that
sounds silly, but yes, exactly that.
I think he's now a multi-dimensional time child because basically from what we understand of time travel, what they have done is they have now created a split in the fourth dimension. It is now they have made choices differently than they normally would have and ended the loop and now split it. And now Deke is a dimensional traveler. He is no longer from the dimension that they exist in.
Yeah.
He is now from a separate dimension. It's...
And not the same way that like the Marvel like 616 and 1610 Ultimate universes live separately. Those are two completely separate universes.
This is a split.
Is like the timeline got broken. The one that Deke is originally from might still be there, but it does. But as far as like any of the people in our timeline are concerned, that is an inaccessible branch. But Deke is still traveled from there, so it's unaffected.
Yeah.
So it's not Back to the Future. There's no fading out.
Would be Back to the Future 2, where a separate timeline is created.
No, I'm saying it's actually not that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Like there's no going back and changing it. It's just different.
They're
now.
Parallel.
Yeah,
now.
It's just too different.
You happen to pull the matter and energy that was Deke from this other timeline, and he can't go back there, but he's also not going to be affected by what happens now in the past.
Let's talk about Deke for a little bit, but really, really quick before we do, we have a quick announcement for you guys. If you guys want to learn and grow and have fun in all areas of your life, we have a podcast for you.
Yes, you guys know that we talk about it every week, but it really does make a difference what the way that you support our founder, Maria Menounos. And the best way that you can do that is to go to the podcast, Conversations with Maria Menounos, which is hosted by the AfterBuzz TV founder and comes out every Friday on iTunes. You're already probably on iTunes. If you're not, you're on YouTube, and iTunes is very accessible from the same computer or iPhone or Android device that you're using.
I've found computers are great for iTunes.
Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with the secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. Maria is a very big life that she is happy to share with you guys. So please make sure that you go in there. You can learn a lot from her. I know that we have just working alongside her.
Yeah.
Like, at the studio. So just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's completely free. If you take the time to rate and comment, please let Maria know that we sent you. Just the three of us. between you and me. Just the three of us. It's a Conversations with Maria Menounos. Please check it out and support not just us, not just Maria, but the AfterBuzz TV family as a whole.
Yeah, guys, it means a lot when you support us, and it means even more when you support the people who give us this platform to talk about our favorite shows on. So thank you guys so much for doing that.
To follow up with the other point that is affected by this timeline thing, like the other timeline thing the chat is asking about, when the hell do we take place? And I have, like, in terms of Infinity War.
Well, I think we...
Spoiler alert for Infinity War.
I think we were talking about it in the trailer, in that I don't think they thought about including Infinity War because they thought it was the series finale.
Yeah.
I think they just did not. They chose to ignore the events of Infinity War to make a satisfying, happy ending.
If this was the end and they had decided to take in the events of Infinity War, which BTW, spoiler alert for Infinity War, if for some reason you haven't seen it yet, if they had decided to take in the events from Infinity War, it would have soured this as a series finale. Yes. It would have been a heartbreaking end to have Coulson and May on that beach and then have one or both of them fade into dust.
Coulson's like, I've only got a week left, but I'm going to enjoy it with
you. I'm going to enjoy it with you.
And then May just...
I feel funny, Coulson.
I don't feel so good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, if it was a season finale... Absolutely. It would be great to see, like, some key characters turn into dust and have that be the arc that we then go through for the next season. But treating it like a series finale.
I wonder if that wasn't sort of in the cards at the very beginning of the series of the season, if they were, like, planning on making it so that, you know, characters like Piper and Davies and maybe one or two members of our team faded away. But then when, like, their renewal was called into question, they tweaked it and they were just like, okay, let's just scrap that. If this is the end, then we want to make it a nice ending.
Yeah. And so, again, like, that's annoying for us because we, who've been watching the show for 30 years now, remember, like, how awesome it was, like, when Winter Soldier came out, or even with Age of Ultron, when, like, the Sokovia plans that they got were from the Agents in S.H.I.E.L.D., and, like, Doctor Strange, we started seeing that magic in the S.H.I.E.L.D. world as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's annoying, but it's, like, I'll give it to them. Like, they thought it was the end of their show.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to kill half the cast and it's sad.
There's a lot that we could be overly critical about for this as a season finale. Yeah. But again, knowing that, like, this might have been the end, I feel like we're a lot more forgiving or a lot more willing to be like, you know what, let's just roll with it because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, and so, like, this is clearly... I don't think the show is saying, like, well, all of these people survive. I think it's just, like, I believe that the producers have even confirmed that it's pre-snap.
Yeah, which I feel
it's
like...
It's the new year zero. Yeah.
I feel like the events of the show are, this isn't, you know, towards the end of Infinity War, and then we cut to black, and we have our credits, and then we hear us. Like, the second it cut to black, I actually, like, snapped while we were watching the show. Because I was like, and this beautiful moment is definitely sullied by the fact that half the world is gone.
Also, I'm getting some corrections in the chat. Yes, it was 40 years ago, not 30 years ago. I apologize.
Thank you, guys. We can always count on you to keep us on point.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's dig into this a little bit. Let's talk about the team dynamic a little bit, because at the very start, we've had this a lot this season. Different members of the team landing on, you know, different time travel theories about and different feelings on fate and destiny and feelings on whether or not we should let Coulson live or whether or not we should try to just kill Talbot. And we see that come to a head at the beginning of this episode when both Yo-Yo and May make executive decisions for everybody else.
Yeah.
First Yo-Yo tries to take the serum so that they can't give it to Coulson, and then May destroys the odium so that they can't use it to kill Talbot.
Yeah,
and
to possibly kill Talbot. Like that
was still a gamble.
That's the thing, is like possibly heal Coulson and possibly kill Talbot. They don't know if either of these things will work.
Yeah,
but they're acting like they definitely do know if these things will work.
Yeah, it is interesting that they're, like, acting in absolutes, but I kind of think that from their perspective, it's just these are the two best shots we have. Yeah.
It's like these are our best options in a world where we don't know what the hell is happening next.
For sure.
Yeah, it does feel a little like, okay, everybody, this is a team, like, you're not even listening to the director, Coulson is still your director. Like, yeah, you're supposed to listen to him.
It's tough because the director is saying, just let me die, and nobody's ready to let him go. And anytime Yo-Yo goes, he's right, they're all like, okay, you want to kill Coulson? And she's like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're all making a lot of assumptions.
But she's awesome. I mean, if she hadn't killed Ruby, then Graviton wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's making a lot of assumptions herself, and so far is just acting like, thinking like, number one, if she had combined the serum with the odium, then Quake never gets her power-up juice.
Yeah.
And no one slips that to Quake in her gauntlets, and we don't kill Graviton. Like, or blast them into space. By the way, we found out where they'd been hiding the budget. It was under the giant Chicago battle bed.
Underneath that big crust of the earth.
Yeah, yeah. They had to lift up a part of the earth to get to it.
When they got that juicy Chicago cookie core.
Budget was. Yeah. Oh, we found
that was
it.
You described it that way before the show, and I'm just like, it's so perfect.
I do want to shout out the performance here, because this is Yo-Yo's breaking point, and I really loved this moment of like, I'm living in a nightmare,
yeah,
and I'm screaming and none of you can hear me, and Gemma, you know, tries to console her, and she's like, yeah, but you won't listen, and yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's like, they are listening, they just think you're wrong. Like, there's a difference. Like,
but Yo-Yo is the only one that's gotten to talk to her future self.
Mm-hmm.
And everything she's tried to do to break the loop since that happened has only made everything fall into place for it to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she has made sure the loop continues.
And that has to be a terrifying sort of situation to be in, knowing that no matter what you've done thus far, not only have you lost a good chunk of yourself in terms of, like, her arms, you know, she will never be the same because of that, but also she's still potentially going to be losing Mac and Coulson, and the world's going to be broken apart, and she also knows that on top of all of that, she will eventually get captured and killed and then resurrected again and again. Anytime they need to harvest stuff for Inhumans. That is a terrifying future to be aware of.
Sure.
Yeah, so I really do just love this performance here. So
yeah, she was great.
Yeah. That was great. But then May makes the executive decision of, nope, we're using it for Coulson. Like, May was such a boss in this.
Yeah, she was fantastic. When she comes to save the day with Mac, I was like, yes, that was amazing.
She murdered those discount Sub-Zeros. So yeah. Good. It was great.
They're just a couple of noob Cybots.
Yep.
Mortal Kombat fans out there.
May with Odium would be frightening.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine the violent streak she would go on?
Be 10 minutes of pure terror. Yeah, I thought this was great. I thought it was good showing like how fractured the team is, and I liked that idea of Coulson saying like, Daisy, what you have to be a leader. You have to like, and Deke talking about how when I first saw you guys, I'd seen people kill for each other, but I'd never seen people willing to die for each other. And like, I thought that was a great moment. And seeing Deke hoard all the stuff in what he assumed was going to be his future room. It's like, I'm going to keep all the stuff in my room and just wait for it to be my room.
That was such a beautiful moment because, like, again, coming from a broken world himself and coming from a survivor society, it makes total sense that he would absolutely hoard everything he could in order to like kind of store it away for himself for a future day. It was very in character and it was very endearing. And then also the decision for him to leave. He's like, I could blink out of existence at any given moment. I've never fit in here. You guys do your thing. I'm going to go see the world.
He could blink or dissolve into non-existence at any given moment.
He also found out what squirrels are. So
I love that he's been reading up on idioms.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Again, talking about another heartbreaking what could have been. If, again, we establish that he still is alive after breaking the time loop. And then he dissolves into dust. Or maybe being out of place in time would make him, like, kind of functionally immortal. That would be funny, too.
That would be an interesting storyline. Like, I like storylines when people find out that they're immortal. that's always fun.
It's like, it's not anything intentional. It's the person who's, like, least likely to, like, want that.
Yeah.
But, like, have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, if he could be, like, the Captain Jack Harkness of the show, I would not complain.
Sure.
Deke gets, like, resurrected into an immortal, like, or, like, celestial.
Yeah,
exactly. Celestial Deke.
Celestial Deke. He is the lemon collector.
It is nice, though, that the last scene, like, I'm sad that we don't get him in the final scenes of the show, but it is nice that his final scene is with Daisy. I would have liked one more scene with him and the grandparents, but I also recognize that might have been cut for time. So it is nice that for all his giant crush, you know, the last person we see him with is Daisy, and him telling her what the narrative of the show tells her she needs to hear.
Also, one of Deke's grandparents is a misplaced time popsicle. So
weird. Weird. We're gonna okay, maybe it's a little too early to talk about that, but
I mean, that's
should we just skip to that, like, because we're talking about Deke and Daisy anyway?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're gonna talk about, like, Graviton, it goes to Chicago, and we were talking about, it's weird that in all the stories of how the world was destroyed, they don't talk about the giant alien spaceship that lands
that
in Chicago.
Didn't land.
Crashes
crashed.
Into Chicago.
Just, well, it didn't even crash. It just decided
it settled
to,
in.
Like, yeah, it rested on top of the building.
Yeah. Clearly, that was the pilot's first day landing.
I mean, it's, well, Talbot. So.
It was just Talbot. Yeah.
Talbot's controlling.
Like, where am I supposed to put this thing?
He's controlling it with gravity.
That's right.
So and then has, like, he can fly.
Yeah.
He could put it anywhere and then just zoom to exactly where he needed to go. But instead, he's like, nope, gotta just drop this on top of the city. Where else am I gonna put it?
Like, they have a laptop video of Daisy yelling at Coulson saying to take it when he gets back to the base, but no like archived ideas or footage of a graviton and a ship in Chicago.
And you know, there were lots of extras extras in this episode too. Yeah. Like the most extras we've seen all season.
Again,
I feel like
budget. I think we went to more locations in this one episode than the entire season.
It's also just the it was short, but the battle between Quake and Graviton was beautiful. Like,
it was so cool.
That was a superhero battle, you guys. In 1 week. And I won't spoil the pairing in Deadpool 2, but if you've seen it, you know exactly the one-on-one fight that I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And then this, and I'm just like, I got two of these things in a week? This is amazing.
It's like Christmas came early.
When Daisy did the powered tackle, like when she did like her boost tackle, I was like, this is the budget, and I'm glad it was worth all the corridors this season. It was worth every single corridor to just see the Daisy tackle.
Yeah, and we iced Graviton. Here's the thing. I'm going to say he's still alive. Because he is so far from human at this point. He is mostly gravitonium, which is still like in its fluid, like we see in this episode. It's in its fluid, whatever state, like say it's buried a mile, like 300 feet underground. So it's not like it needs air to survive.
And it
theoretically, you could probably freeze it and it would be okay. Within comic book universe, especially, I'm willing to say that this gravitonium-based creature that is Graviton, if you were to put it back in an atmosphere, would come back to life.
Yeah, I feel like it needs a host, though, right?
Maybe. Like, maybe it would just dissolve into gravitonium, and then you would have all of their minds still inside, and it would need to be.
I can see that, like the gravitonium kind of melting like Senator Kelly in the first X-Men movie.
Ghost in the chat just called him a Grampsicle.
Oh, Grampsicle. Oh. Yummy.
I could definitely see that, of it just reverting back to its liquid form when it found a habitable place.
Yeah, I mean, my thought was like, oh, great, you sent it into space where all the Kree that we're looking for it are. Like, this entire season, they've been like, give us the gravitonium, and then we just sent it in a Talbot box.
We just launched it into space without, like, launching it towards a star or the sun, or I don't... Would that have made things worse, actually? Like, if we had launched...
Don't throw gravitonium into the sun.
Shoot! If we had launched graviton into the sun, it would have caused a black hole, and then Thanos wouldn't have had a world to destroy.
Oh, we did it! We beat Thanos!
Definitely won.
Can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs or worlds.
I mean, through Thanos logic, that if you sacrifice the Earth for half the universe, that's worth it.
Yeah, it's a numbers game, according to that line of thinking.
Yeah.
It is tragic looking at this, looking at the graviton, you know, Graviton's fate from the perspective of Talbot's story arc. You look at Talbot, and that is just a tragedy, period. He is a tragic figure because he was an antagonist who came around after several seasons of coming going head to head with our heroes. Again, never in an evil way, just in goals that were contradictory to what our heroes were trying to accomplish. And then when he did have faith in them, he got shot in the head for it, and then was kidnapped and tortured and mentally broken. And then in that state, became a supervillain. And then here, as a last ditch effort, they try to reach out to his humanity. But ironically, their past of just kind of not listening to what Talbot had to say or deceiving him ultimately is what solidifies him as a villain.
Well, they did an interesting thing this episode where they tried to have their cake and eat it too with talking about, like, them being soldiers, which is something that we've brought up a lot, where it's like they're not really acting like government-trained agents in this show. Like, they never really act like spies, and that's fine because we like the characters and that makes sense. But this episode, they tried to bring that soldier story back in, and they tried to appeal to Talbot as a soldier, But at the same time, and Zach and I were talking about this, they decided that the leader of their super spy organization, which is a military organization, should be the mechanic, who has maybe 3 years of super spying under his belt, which is great. I mean, I like Mac as a character, but like at the same time, they're talking about how we're soldiers, and not to say that there aren't mechanics who are soldiers. There are a lot of amazing men and women in our armed forces who work in the mechanic corps, but you wouldn't choose a mechanic to be a general.
Yeah.
Like that. Like you would want someone with like combat training and like tactical experience, like May. Like May should be the leader of your spy team. May,
like give her a few weeks off.
Yeah,
like give her
she should lead your spy team.
But there's the problem is like I don't buy Mac as. I don't buy him as a good decision maker for this kind of organization. Like Coulson and Nick Fury before him have always talked about having to make the hard call.
Yeah.
They have like being the leader of SHIELD means deciding sometimes somebody's going to die so that somebody else can live.
Yeah.
And I don't see Mac ever being able to make that decision. In fact, he's railed against having to make those kinds of calls in the past. So I don't
even
know.
Even when it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And so I don't buy him. Like, he would be a great advisor for Daisy or May if they were to take it over. Like, he would be a good moral compass character for them to help guide their decisions.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be the person to, like, send a team into a hyper risky situation that will ultimately save the day.
If like, we want to go with the theory of, like, the reason why Coulson doesn't want to leave May in charge is what he said earlier in the season in that, like, you know, she's probably a few years away from retirement, or in a perfect world, she'd be a few years away from retirement.
Yeah, that, but like she like, should.
Oh, no, for sure.
Then let her retire as the leader of SHIELD.
I know, right? But like wanting Daisy to step up, like, if you go under that logic, then the hierarchy should be Daisy and Mac as her advisor to be there to support and then kind of guide maybe some of her decisions. That being said, this is what I was talking about earlier with saying that Deke told her what the narrative says she needs to hear.
Yeah.
I still maintain, I'm kind of with you guys, I still maintain that if May's not going to lead, I do think Daisy should be the leader. So her kind of stepping aside is a little bit of a surprise. What Mac does do really well is being able to appeal to the heart of the team.
Yeah, and he grounds them.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Daisy does a really great job of pointing out he is their moral compass. And that's important to have as a facet of the team, not necessarily the leader. Like, and even at the very beginning when they're on the verge of tearing each other apart, and this is some good writing. What does he say is the thing that can unify them all again? Hope. And yeah. It's like,
the chat doesn't necessarily agree with us. Ryan McBain says Mac was perfect to lead. He's the moral compass. JT Fax, although, says Mac is too moral.
You want a good balance of morals and pragmatism is kind of like as a leader. You want someone who can make pragmatic decisions, but also morally correct decisions.
I will give this decision credit, Mac, for a good long while, you know, for when Daisy has the tendency to run off and make emotional decisions.
Sure.
You know, she ran off for a good half of a season after Lincoln died. Mm-hmm. And during that time, Mac had to work in tandem with Coulson.
Yeah.
So he spent a lot of one-on-one time with Coulson. And so I understand Daisy taking the stance of I'm too quick to make those emotional knee-jerk reactions, I'm not ready for it yet. In the meantime, Mac should be the leader. I do get it from that perspective because she does have the tendency to run off and do her own thing.
Sure.
And that's not necessarily the best thing for a leader to do. So this, I understand it, but at the same time, I'm like, or you could just stop running off and making those emotional decisions.
Or just make May the leader.
I honestly don't know why it's not, okay, May, you're going to have a little vacation while you help Coulson die. but then you're going to come back. You're going to lead this squad. This we're saying organization in very loose terms. There's about 12 people in S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point. And like Deathlok running around somewhere.
After Mace died. After Mace died, how much of a organization is S.H.I.E.L.D. still? That's a great question.
We honestly don't know. It's a major question. Like, somebody in the chat was just asking, like, what about Fury and Hill, who we saw at the end of Infinity War? I mean, yes, they're gone, but, like, what were they? I don't think they were still involved with S.H.I.E.L.D. I think they were just, like, two...
Rogue agents.
Like, rogue agents / friends who are, like, going to do things.
Oh, just buds.
Buds doing, like, you know, it's hard to, like, stop. Like, she technically works for Stark.
Yeah.
Fury, I think, is just, like, he just goes around, like...
He's a retired guy who's just getting in everybody's business.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of what I imagine Nick Fury to be at all times. He's actually a pager salesman.
Yeah. He just goes door to door knocking.
That's why he has a fancy color pager.
Well, before we dig into the rest of the episode really quick, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. And as we mentioned last week, we weren't able to do a shout out for the week. That week, and this might have been the end. At the time of the last recording, we thought this might have been the end. So everybody who's gone to iTunes to leave a comment so we could shout you out today, it really means a lot. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. So there's a bunch, so we don't have time to get to everybody's, but I want to give a shout out to HMCH of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ernie KD, Taj, I'm pretty sure Taj Dickens, Joyful Kia. Fosker, who even says, like, it's me with the hard to pronounce name. But to say we love you and thanks again. Prodigal 358. I can't cry. I can't say I didn't cry while watching.
Aww.
Thank you, Travis Cat Slaughter. I don't know. That's their name.
No, okay.
But I want to give a big shout out to S.H.I.E.L.D. intern number 33. Who writes in saying, so I was eavesdropping on the crew's little retirement party, and I don't know why I wanted Fitz to die. Well, now I wait, because the Avengers are gone, and we aren't even going to talk about the aliens in New York. Great end to an amazing team. I'm graduating from intern, all two of us, since Agent Kim passed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the intern core is a little light.
Light on applicants these days.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone who comments and reviews.
Yeah.
It's awesome that you go out of your way to let us know and let the people who we work for know that you appreciate what we do. It really helps us.
Yeah, and again, we're going to be back next season, and so, you know, feel free to keep those comments still coming. We love you guys, and one of the highlights of my week getting to do this show is just hearing you guys talk about how much you enjoy listening, so we love you guys.
And keep leaving those reviews over the summer year, I guess, because it helps people find the show. Who knows? Like, keep supporting. Maybe we'll, like, pop in for a random news update
at some point. And feel free to, you know, drop in on Twitter. You know, there are going to be a couple Marvel movies coming out before S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back. So love hearing your guys'
thoughts. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Please talk to us about Ant-Man and the Wasp. And Miss Marvel, oh my God, or Captain Marvel, sorry.
Captain Marvel, which maybe we'll have to come back to talk about that one, because that's going to very heavily, it's going to have Coulson in it.
Yeah.
If they are not, if they're smart at all, they will just, it doesn't have to do a lot. They'll just have an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. named Melinda May, just running around with Coulson. She doesn't have to do anything except be there. Because if you're going to be in S.H.I.E.L.D., there's going to be agents around.
Have Melinda May.
I'm pretty sure that you could honestly put Ming-Na Wen in there as 20 years ago, and I would totally buy it.
I would freak out.
If you felt the need to also just cast a younger person to play Melinda May, also would work.
If they're casting Coulson the same, then like they can have her.
I'm just saying.
Way. Or if you wanted to cast a little girl who's looking up at Captain Marvel, all starry eyed, brown hair.
Kevin Feige also already said that he is actively making plans for Miss Marvel to come. They're just waiting for this movie to hit.
That would be kind of great.
They announced plans for Ms. Marvel. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's no details in terms of like who's writing it or any timeline, but they're like, yeah, we're gonna do it.
Marvel has written me a love letter because Miles is getting a movie. Mm. Miles Morales is getting a movie. Robbie Reyes was in S.H.I.E.L.D. last year.
Absolutely.
And now there are plans for Kamala Khan. So thank you, Marvel. Everything about this is great. Okay, we need to get back to the episode.
Well, just one more thing about the comments. I was reading through the comments on YouTube, and like there were a lot of people who were talking about how they were really worried that we were going to be off the air, and like they'd started with season one, and that like we were their kind of podcast family. And I just want to say we feel the same way about you guys. Like when you guys comment and stuff like that, it feels like we're really interacting with you and talking with you guys. So thank you for all those things. Now let's
studio audience.
Hey, studio audience, you've been very quiet for the last two seasons. So
studio audience, who's always been there.
It's a weird... Finally we get cheers. It's
don't been me, like, I'll, Jesse, hold me back.
Okay, okay. You finally... How dare you? How dare all of you?
Real quick, before this becomes the Mari Povich
James,
show.
Half of them just disappeared. Oh my God.
No joke. Not to
that's
not
where
to
Matt
go.
And Joyce went.
Oh no! No, you stop. real quick. Not to get too far into a segue, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the first show I ever did here at AfterBuzz.
Oh.
And so this show, even though a lot of other shows have come and gone, and I've been the lead for a lot of other shows, like. This one has always had a special place in the Chesto region where I would have a heart if I had a heart. But instead of the gaping black hole of gravitonium that's there. But no.
Mac again, has the biggest heart.
He does.
Anatomically speaking.
So this show really does. It means a lot. And you guys commenting does mean a lot. So thank you guys. Let's get back to it. Because this finale didn't end with everybody sort of getting out unscathed. We do have one big casualty, and they teased a couple,
sort of.
Like, they, yeah, kind of, question mark.
I really like the moment where it looked like everything was falling into place, where it was like maybe they were stuck in the loop. Like, both of you and I were watching it, and I was like, oh, everything's happening the way it's supposed to happen.
Both Mac and Robin's mother are in the ship.
Yeah.
And we're like, wait a minute, the people who live are outside of the ship, and the people who don't make it are inside of the ship. This is bad.
Daisy's getting absorbed by Graviton. Like, it looks like everything's going wrong. And then, like, when Robin goes, like, wait, things have changed. That's nuts from a time travel perspective, number one. But also, it's a great moment because it then led to the awesome fight and everything like that. It was like this great rallying moment. And then we got the sadness of a tool shed being inside of Fitz.
Oh, jeez. Now, this is an interesting moment because as the debris is starting to fall, you know, after Mac and Polly have gotten off the ship, Daisy attacks Gravitonium once she gets her power up, which that was an awesome moment. Coulson not taking the antidote and instead slipping it to Daisy as they were hugging.
Yeah.
Like slipping it into her gauntlets. That was a great moment. And the moment she injects it into herself to give herself that freaking Super Saiyan power up. That's one other thing I want to point out is like anytime Quake gets into a fight scene, the show always likes to go full anime, and I don't have any complaints about that. I don't have a problem with it.
I also don't understand how that worked, but I'm okay with it. Like, like, I don't understand how a healing centipede potion... Did it also boost her Quake powers?
I'm just wondering if those are permanent. Like, if she's permanently gotten an upgrade.
I mean, they did. They did set this up. I mean, they say that, like, Garrett had, like, some extra...
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah.
They were like, it's going to give you a little extra mojo, I believe was the quote.
Okay, I forgot so I think about the mojo line.
they went to the mojo verse and they came back. And
thank
that's
goodness.
That's the explanation.
And then she hit him so hard he reached orbit.
She hit him so hard he saw the curvature of the earth.
But when she does that, it causes debris to fall right on top of Fitz. And give the show a lot of credit. it looked like he got hit with a... It didn't look like he got hit with a prop. It looked like he got hit with something that had a lot of weight to it.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they showed, like, that siding in, like, inside of him and, like, the blood's coming down, like, that was brutal. And, like, his just repeating talking about his legs, like, it felt... Like, it reminded me of, like, Saving Private Ryan. Yeah. Like, that beginning scene. Like, it was really brutal. Yeah, and that was nasty.
It was a brutal end to a character who's had a very interesting arc over the last few seasons in terms of where his moral compass lies.
Yeah.
And where we left off with Mac and Fitz prior to this moment was, you know, them still not having gotten back on good terms.
Yeah, I mean, Fitz is a really complicated character from his actions this season. We were talking about it. He chose to perform surgery on Daisy without her permission, without her consent, and without, like, anesthetic and that kind of thing, which in the end saved the world, because if Daisy didn't have her powers, she wouldn't have been able to fight Graviton. But at the same time, like, that is an evil act to do.
It's even, like, what down to what Talbot says in those last moments is, like, that ends justifying the means. It's like, it's a big question that, like, it's a moral question that nobody has a perfect answer for.
Yeah. As much as we, like, love Mac, one of the things we keep talking about is needing to make the hard call and not being sure if Mac as a leader can make the hard call. But at the end of the day, like, Fitz is the type of person to say the ends justify the means. Coulson, to an extent, is the type of person that would say the end justifies the means. Talbot, Graviton is using that same argument. So it's definitely a perspective that isn't necessarily 100% evil, but it's hard to justify it when you're doing a lot of evil things to get
there. But, like, real quick, because...
It's pretty evil to perform surgery on someone without anesthetic. Evil. And
but in this moment, they sort of reconcile.
Yeah.
Or at least Mac has forgiveness in this final moment.
Yeah. I just want to say, because we're running low on time, because we did to talk about, like, the physical.
Yeah.
And I'm very torn on this right now, because, like, I thought it was a great send-off for Fitz. Like, it was emotional. Like, I loved having Mac there. Had a last little, like, Fitz-Mac thing. Like, and they were such good friends, and Mac had such an effect on him.
Moment when Mac comes back and you see Gemma's reaction. And then, again, we don't see Deke for a little bit.
And the fake-out of, like, the in remembrance thing, I thought was handled pretty well. Done, I like that. But the comic book killed him. And I was like, I was actually really ready for them to have killed him.
Yeah.
So now that, like, we're getting this, like, Fitz back who didn't perform the surgery. He still got some twisted stuff going on mentally from the framework, but...
Didn't marry Gemma.
Didn't go through the marriage. Like, he's going to be super disoriented, obviously, as Gemma puts it. But it feels like it was... It would have been stronger if he'd actually just died, as opposed to now we're just, like, resetting
him. It's going to be interesting seeing how Ian de Castecker plays him next season.
Yeah.
That being said, I kind of think it's gross. Like, it's like, this character dies, and it's like, it's okay, we have a new one, a better one that didn't do the bad things. I'm like, that's kind of skeevy.
It is weird, and I think, it is a decision that they made before they knew that this was the end of the season and not the end of the series, because that is something where it's like, oh, there's gonna be a Fitz in the future.
Yeah,
and now they've got to address, like, now they've got to follow through with that.
If this was a series finale, I would be a lot more okay with it, of like, hey, you know, Gemma still has Fitz, like, it's a little bit better of a bookend. As a season thing, as a season end, it's kind of gross again. So, like, that's sort of my thought on that.
We'll see where it goes. We'll see if Ian de Castecker is back next season.
Yeah.
It also means Enoch is back.
That's a good thing. More Enoch. I liked Enoch.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy Enoch's there.
Yeah, I definitely like the happy ending aspect of things if this was the series finale, but... As a season finale, I take a little bit of issue with it, but you can't really blame them because they didn't know.
No, they had to address it.
Yeah.
We would have been more upset if they hadn't addressed this major timeline, like, hole.
And we were even talking about how, like, it's hard to redeem that character after he does the things he does. So they found a way to redeem that character without, like, just killing him.
Yeah, him running onto that ship, helping to save Mac and Polly, that you know, putting his life on the line to potentially do that, you know, to do that, that... Well,
I was talking about him just being a time popsicle, like out of time popsicle. Because like now we're gonna get Fitz back. It's just not Fitz who, you know, had surgery on Daisy.
Yeah. Again, it's an interesting thing. It's a moral gray area. So yeah, I'm glad that they addressed it though.
Yeah.
Well, we are sadly running short on time. Do you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap it up for the evening?
I will miss this show for a year.
Yeah.
A year is a long time. But I am excited. Like, this was a good season finale overall, and I look forward to it coming back. And in the meantime, we'll get Clark Gregg in 1995.
Yes!
Yeah. I'm going to go back and watch that Daisy Graviton fight like a million times. That was awesome. This episode was awesome. And it was very, like I said, it was a great ending for the Daisy and Coulson story. Like, it was really emotionally satisfying.
Yeah.
And I loved all the twists and turns. I love that they kind of found their way out of the time problem in a creative way.
I'm looking forward to getting to go back and rewatch this season because we did play with time in the way that we did, seeing all of the sort of little clues that they left at the very beginning and seeing how all of that sort of comes around. And yeah, it was... Ending in Tahiti was a good choice, and I'm going to miss this.
But is it really Tahiti? Yeah.
Also, bring back Deke.
Yes!
Please bring back
Deke. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see where they go, because we don't know how Infinity War is going to shake out. So
that's why they're waiting until after Infinity War Part 2 before we get anything.
So, in the meantime, guys, send us your theories about what you think Season 6 is going
Who
to entail.
Who will survive? Tell us down below in the comments.
And again, just... Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you. We'll see you next year. Jesse, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. Come talk to me about all your nerdy stuff. I'll talk to you back.
I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, THatZachWilson. Please stay tuned there, because I have a couple projects that are beginning to brew, and I'm very excited for when I can get to announce them, and I'll be able to do that on Twitter. So stay tuned.
If you haven't already done so, follow Tehran at I Am Tehran on the social media atmosphere. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. If you want to check out a special episode of the podcast Hollywood Happy Place, I joined the host Jerry to talk about Infinity War. That was before we knew S.H.I.E.L.D. was getting renewed, so it'll be take it with a grain of salt. And then also, I just launched a podcast called No Love Lost, which is a Lost retrospective. If you guys want to go and check that out. Again, thank you all so much for joining us this season. We're going to miss you during the hiatus, but we will see you in Season 6. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It's a magical place.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.